思，你兔制度我当白痴。搞完先话你知，你男朋友系咪弱智？你很想屌我吧？很想屌我吧？我话无他。想屌我吧，很想屌我吧。
World, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both!Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s all chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria.So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support.Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
For each episode of Unceded Airwaves this year, I want to cover current events at the beginning of each episode. These are things that I feel are not being covered outside of the Indigenous community enough.Currently, there are arrests of Indigenous land defenders that are currently standing up to protect the old growth of Pachidaw territory at the head of Port San Juan Bay on southwest Vancouver Island. Most of these arrests happened in mid-August, but they are still occurring. There are areas identified for deferral that are being cut. This includes a cut block in the Looper Creek watershed on TFL 44, which contains trees 40 feet in circumference.These trees are currently intact but are approved for logging by Western Forest Products. The words of Grand Chief Stuart Phillip of the UBCIC, Union of BC Indian Chiefs, should be something we keep in mind always. He has said that old-growth logging cannot be parceled off as an Indigenous issue.
Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. Doo-doo-loo-doo. Doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day.
The virus took on many shapes, the bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
It's
Hello, and welcome to Unceded Airwaves, hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM. CITR is a part of the University of British Columbia, which means that UBC is a settler, an occupier, of unceded, stolen, ancestral territories of the Hunkelinum-speaking Musqueam people, who are currently represented by the Musqueam Indian Band, whose reserve is located adjacent to UBC. We broadcast all the way out to the unceded territories, also stolen, also occupied, of the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh nations as well. But we are sitting and occupying Musqueam territory right here, right now. And this is unceded airwaves, which means that we, in saying our land acknowledgement, we also stand in solidarity with occupied people resisting occupation worldwide, free Palestine. Today we are talking about Fancy Dance, the movie, and we'll have a little interview. And then after, an event. If you're listening and you have time to scurry down here, doors are at 6. And I'm joined today by a bunch of people.
Hi, I'm Jazz.
I'm Riley.
And I'm Isabel.
I'm Cooper.
And I'm Olivia.
The collective is collectiving. So we're starting the episode with some songs from Fancy Dance, from the soundtrack. First two are explicit, but it's unceded airwaves, so we don't really care much for that. If you're mad at us, that's your problem. Yeah. So we're going to start off with Deja Vu by Snotty Nose Rez Kids off of Life After, and then Bus A Nine by Sharna Bass, or Bass, and then Zoom In by Raquel and Dead Pharaoh. So after that, we'll come back and let you know our thoughts on the track, and I'm excited to, I haven't seen the movie yet, so after we'll see what this is setting in the scenes. So we'll get like a raw opinion before we see them actually placed in the film. So here is Deja Vu by Snotty Nose Rez Kids.
Yeah. Hey. I grew up to screw up, give mommy her praise. Yeah. My daddy been screwed up, my cousin moved base. Yeah. She don't want all the babies to end up that way. Yeah. On the phone telling me every night that she prays. Thinking drank to the dome. Sad boy, leave me alone. Just rock with the dro, ain't no cane on my nose. Deja vu, I done seen that before. Smoking that jazz and I'm drinking the blues. If you seen what I seen, you would do this shit too. I see needles with spoons with that brown residue. Been to hell and back, dude, live the life that's worth two. True, ayy. It's any given Sunday from Sunday to Sunday.
From Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah. I go hard in the yard, I'm a brave to the grave.
I'm a brave to the grave.
Yeah. Fuck your statistic, I did it my way. Yeah, I'm already a champion like Rusty would say.
I hope you can forgive and miss the life we live. I try to right my wrongs. They say that life goes on. Now what more can I do but go through what I go through? I'm product of my environment. True, this shit deja vu.
Raised by my mother, yeah. Brother caught a case. Stuck in my ways and I come from the bay. Wanna be a fiend, what my cousins say. Maybe we can talk about it someday. It started way back before the internet. In the kitchen with my granny smoking cigarettes. A lot of good days, but a few I regret. But those be the days that be hard to forget. Now my heart on my sleeve and I'm wearing it. If we caught in our feelings, we bury it. I've been drinking for days, man, I'm very lit. If problems arise, we take care of it. Whiskey on the rocks when I'm thirsty. Chug to the bone in the worst way. Mad shot to the dome, Kurt Cobain. I'm fucked up, trying to get fucked up, I'm sane. Look at me, man. Pretty boy swag like Soulja Boy said. City boy, leave you on red. I put off for the res and you left me for dead. People fall off like falling leaves. All my house fill up when the city sleep. Take the good with the bad, bittersweet. I'll take another shot while I fall asleep.
I hope you can forgive. It's the life we live. I try to right my wrongs. They say that life goes on. Now what more can I do but go through what I go through? I'm product of my environment. True, this shit deja vu.
Thank you.
knew I should've run, baby, run, baby, run, baby, run, baby. When I saw you, oh, we were never whole. And yeah, I was done, baby, done, baby, done, baby, done, baby. But I loved you so, so my heart said no. And I would've bust a knife, yeah. I would've held ya right next to mine, honey, till death do us part. I would've run some miles for you. I would've healed your spots. I would've rest your aching soul, floated from the dark. Oh, now you see that time's running. Crying, crying out for me now. Can't be fooled by you. Cause you drag me through the dirt. I see for you that love is just a word. So still trying, and you know what I deserve. Can't be fooled by you. I would've bust a knife for you. I would've held your heart right next to my baby.
Remain in my zone. Missiles coming, I say double dutch and no Romeo. My she know where to go. Late night studio. And you ain't pushing for something, then you should push out the dough. I keep it moving, you the same place I seen you before. My lifetime, elevate the sweetest revenge. Yeah, I'm boarding the plane, I got my pad and my pen. I keep the vibration high, skyscrape. And the wingspan long, how I navigate. In the whip, touch the zone with the candy paint. Live fast, ride slow, go celebrate, celebrate.
I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I keep moving, moving, moving. I keep moving, moving, moving. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I keep moving, moving, moving. Hey, what? Not influenced by the status quo. I'm moving like DiCaprio. Catch me if you can. I travel like Zico inside my head. Silver lining my fingers, like your dreams in the distance. Work like grass on them knuckles. All it takes is persistence. Second dough up in Italy, I'm giving dope shows and passing slices of my energy. Making out with change while you make out with your back. Leave the stage and wreck my pay. Pockets tight, they never strain. Can't trace who they won't face. Estimate my own fate. Wanna knock me down?
when I raise up the stakes. Brand new mental, help me scope out my pace. Highlight reels turning into play-by-plays. Hungry rumblings, eat up the beat like beasts. Lapping all these rappers, watch them snap at the knees. My bag's leaking racks, so it's stuck to my cleats. Catch me out fast, I'll be back in a week. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I keep moving, moving, moving. I keep moving, moving, moving. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I stay zooming, zooming, zooming. I keep moving, moving, moving. Ay, yeah.
Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you, this time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this: Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be swimming, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild, keeping me on the tip of my tongue.
Welcome back to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9. You just heard Deja Vu by Snotty Nose Rez Kids, Bussa 9 by Sharna Bass, Zoom In by Raquel, and Dead Pharaoh. We're back. We were serving down the studio. Serving down. Thoughts?
Everyone did a really, really good job at serving. Really happy with everyone. So we got really good photos, guys. It was more like a photo shoot than it was a listening party. But music was great. I'm excited to see the context in which they're put into it.
Me too. All three had a very trap vibe, and I'm really excited. I bet that'll be in some really epic scenes. Mm-hmm. Like some very... Isabel's like giggling because she knows. She knows.
Yeah, she does. She knows what's up.
And then after, we will play two more songs for you, and then we'll come back with an interview. So we're going to be playing Red Dot by Netanyi Means, and then Rose of San Joaquin by Lincoln Grounds and Tom Jutz. So I'm really curious. I haven't heard any of the songs that we're playing, but I love soundtracks, love curated vibes. So let's see what these curated vibes are. Here's Red Dot.
They fucked up now. Hey, Netanyi Means. You know what it is when I roll through. Mindset came from the old school. Super Saiyan mode like Goku. Talking all that shit, you don't know what I go through. Run a pack like a running back. With the tracks, I've been running laps. And I'm flipping till I make 100 stacks. Bet, I ain't new to the shit, I'm a motherfucking vet. 100 round drum in the clip. You already know what it is with the kid. Still, solve these problems with a fist. I'm a savage, I'm losing my grip. Bitch, burn down the Mayflower ships. And I'm paranoid after social meds. Talk a big game, but they're talking to the feds. New side on the beam, and that motherfucker red.
Yeah.
a challenge, ho. They love me from the res to the vadio. I rap for my people on the main stage. I cash out and I'm still paid. So bounce. When I'm in that motherfucker, they gon' bounce. They let the old Johnny out now. And I swear to God that I'm next up. Stage in my pocket, so I'm blessed up. Make them wonder why they ever test us. What?
They know.
Yeah. Next life.
Last time.
Like sweet and sentimental stories and songs.
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're gonna love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Hello, welcome back to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM in so-called Vancouver. I'm Danny, and I'm joined by the Indigenous Collective today.
Hi, my name is Aditya.
We'll do names again.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jazz.
I'm Riley.
I'm Cooper.
And I'm Olivia.
And we're the Indigenous Collective, and we host the show Unceded Airwaves that you're listening to right now. This episodes are live on Mondays, 5 to 6, and then rebroadcast Saturdays, 12 to 1.
And for today's episode, focusing on fantasy dance, we have a very special guest appearance. The actress who plays Roki is in the studio.
A star is with us.
Hello.
So, Isabel, could you start off by telling us about yourself?
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. My name is Isabel DeRoy Olson. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a citizen of the Trandequitchin First Nation. I'm also from the Lake Manitoba and Ebb and Flow First Nations in Manitoba. I'm an actress, and I live here in so-called Vancouver. I've been acting since I was 14. So for a lot of my high school years, and alongside that, I was also doing a lot of journalism stuff with CBC Kids News. So yeah, I don't know. Acting is my favorite thing ever, and I'm very happy to be here.
Cool. Thank you. Our next question is, how did you end up as Roki in Fancy Dance?
Yeah. Also, we're taking a bunch of digital camera photos right now.
I don't know if you could feel the sleigh over the airwaves.
The cyber shot. So my audition for Fancy Dance started off as just a regular self-tape audition. So I kind of just sent it in like I do with most of them, not really thinking much of it because lots of people audition through self-tape. So it's like I don't want to get my hopes up ever, but I really did like the script. And I remember filming the self-tape in my parents' bedroom. Which I did quite quickly, actually. But I just sent it in, but turned out that the director, Erica Tremblay, she was directing a show called Dark Winds at the time and writing, and she saw me audition for one of the characters who was a pregnant teen. And at the time, I was probably like 16, but I looked probably 13. So that obviously didn't work out. But she remembered me from that audition. She was like, this kid is way too young to be a pregnant teen, but she's perfect for this other role. And so she saw my self-tape and immediately was like, okay, we should have a meeting. And so she was meeting with a bunch of other young Indigenous actresses at the time. And I was in Portugal, I think, with my family on a trip. So I met her. We figured out the time zones and we talked about the character in the film. and I was so nervous. And then I found out that I booked it, which was great. And my family and I, we did a road trip down the Oregon coast and then across to Oklahoma to film. And the entire time I was like, I'm going to get there and she's going to realize that I'm too tall to be 13 and no. I'm not going to actually be in this movie. And I got there and I got to the production office and I was like, I'm fine. These are the best people ever. I am going to have so much fun. And I did.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. That's so sad you were so worried about that.
I'm usually like that. I was working on Three Pines, an Amazon Prime show with Crystal Lightning, and she was like, you never know if you actually got the part until you're on screen and filming it. And I was like, thank you so much. She's absolutely lovely to work with, but that's definitely stuck with me since she said that.
That's so cool. I love watching like the self-tapes, like the Zoom yes. self-tapes auditions. Especially during COVID when everyone was auditioning. Yep. Yeah, that's so cool. And the road trip sounds yeah. really fun. Portugal sounds really fun. It sounds like a great way to find out that you got a role.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So were there any pieces or looks from the film that you wish you could have taken home or did take home?
The first promo photo that came out for Fancy Dance when Apple bought the film was a two-shot of Lily and I standing next to each other, and we're standing, arms crossed. I'm kind of like mimicking her stance. And I'm wearing this wolf shirt, and it's kind of a running joke with me and all my friends that I'm like a wolf girl, because I'm Wolf Clan.
Yeah.
And so oh, yeah. that started from a very early age. I was like, you know what? That's me. And now it's just become this joke. And Lily really wanted to wear that tank top, but then costumes gave it to me. And so I wish I could have kept that, but it's somewhere in Oklahoma. But I did get to keep a pair of denim shorts that I do wear
nice.
Very consistently. They're thrifted. Nice. They're great. I love them.
Yeah. If you want a wolf shirt, okay, I do know somebody who has a collection of wolf shirts.
I've got two personally.
Yeah. I have like four. It's really bad.
I got with like yeah. the dream catcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
The old vintage like wolf shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a collection that they actually give out to people when they meet them for the first time.
What? Who is this individual?
It is my friend's uncle. Uncle Fred. Okay. We love Uncle Fred.
Oh, my God.
And when you meet someone for the first time or they come over for the first time, he has like a whole closet of these rolled up.
This
like,
is amazing.
I need to meet Uncle Fred.
So, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I see my future and it's bright.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to you about that yeah. after.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Back around.
Back around.
Here. Oh. Okay. Okay. Third question. Fourth question.
Fourth question.
Oh. Oh. And so, kind of obligatory question we have to ask. What was it? What was it like for you working with the iconic Lily Gladstone?
Aww. Well, Lily is one of my favorite people to ever exist. Mm-hmm. I was so nervous, as I said, going onto this set, but meeting her for the first time, we had this sort of immediate realization that we were very similar people. Even in our family dynamics and in the way we talk and the way we move, like, we just had this connection immediately. And we never had a chemistry read or anything. Erica just knew that we would work together. She always talks about how Lily's such a powerhouse on screen. And she's so right. She just, like, takes up the whole screen and is this bright, shining star that you can't look away from. And so she was like, I don't know how I'm going to find a kid that matches that. And then immediately we had this sort of flow of working together. And, you know, we were on set the first day and Lily said, you know, this is going to be fun. And I was like, okay, it's going to be fun. And, you know, in between takes, we were laughing at each other and making fun of each other and quoting the movie Willow to each other, doing voices. And it's such a heavy film and it's such a serious film, but yeah. we were able to have such a fun and bright and full of love kind of time on set, which was really, really lovely to have, especially because this was my first feature. And I feel like I learned so much from her. She's a great, great role model to have. And we're very close friends now. She's the most generous, giving person ever. She's at Sundance Film Festival right now, and she's absolutely killing it. She's with Bo and Yang in their new film. I'm very excited to see it. It was actually great. We had a Fancy Dance was in theaters, and the cast of The Wedding Banquet came to International Village, and I got to meet all of them, and they were so lovely. And so it's so great to see all of them just absolutely killing it in Park City.
I absolutely love keeping up with, like, your social media. well, one, because you serve all the time.
Same with
so
you,
much.
Diva.
Oh, thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen. but I've also noticed, like, I mean, outside perspective, of course, that it seems like you guys really developed, like, a sisterly relationship. Like, it definitely gives, like, supportive, loving good sister vibes. I love Lily so much. I also really look up to her. Probably will never meet her, you know, but I think, like, I could just see the love that's there and the connection that's there, and I think that's really awesome. I think definitely you two are, like,
yeah,
it's there, the connection is there.
Yeah, it's really great to have her, especially in a business that's so unknown. Mm-hmm. You never know where you're going to be or what you're going to be doing, and it's so uncertain all the time, and that can be really scary, but to have someone like Lily to talk to about that is such an important thing for me personally. Like, I need that. And yeah, she really is like my auntie now. We're so close. My family and I drove down to Washington to visit her recently over the holidays. And it's so lovely because we can just, like, get back into that sort of, like, the swing of things and, you know, there's just a whole lot of love there.
That totally changes, like, I guess, like, how I'm going to see watching this, knowing that, like, you guys literally, like, visit, like, family. Like, that's, like, I'm going to so be thinking about that watching this film. Yeah. I love that.
I feel like a lot of people have said that the film, like, our relationship in it feels very lived in, and I feel like that's very true because it's very true to life, which is really nice to have, and it's very rare to have, you know. You have great experiences on set, but it's very rare that you keep those connections so closely.
Mm-hmm.
Passing the mic.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, it's lovely to hear because I guess, like, just the differences that I've heard between, like, indigenous sets and, like, non-indigenous, it seems very, like, tight-knit and obviously filled with so much joy and love, which is happy to hear. Mm-hmm. And really resonates with my heart. Also, Auntie Lily. Slay. Our next question is, I guess, like, what does Fancy Dance mean or represent for you personally? Mm-hmm. Or just, yeah, in general?
Passing the mic back. Fancy Dance is such an important thing for both my career and my life. You know, I was still in high school when I filmed it. I missed my last first day of school, but I really did not care because I was where I was happiest. Being on set is my favorite place to be. And, you know, I auditioned for probably 2 years before I actually booked anything, which is a very, like, stressful thing. It's like I'm doing all this work to not even know whether or not I'm going to like the job that I'm trying to do. But Fancy Dance being my first feature really meant a lot because, you know, it was an indie, but it was headed by Erica, and I was right beside Lily, and it was an opportunity for me to fully understand, you know, how a film is made and how it operates and how to navigate those situations properly. And, you know, I love being on set because I just get to talk to everybody and learn about what they're doing because it's such a collaborative effort. And I think that's why I love it so much, because I get to make those connections and make sure, or at least try to make everybody's job easier. And I was on set last summer, and I was really close with one of the camera crew guys, and he's on focus. Dean, I love you.
Shout out Dean.
And at the end of a really, really long shoot day, he looked at me and he went, you know, you make these days go by so quickly. And that, it really means a lot to me, because that's always my goal, because I love acting, but I also love making sure that everybody else is having a good time, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But in terms of Fancy Dance, it's such a great way to start out, because it's such an important film. And, you know, it premiered at Sundance, which is crazy. And that was 2 years ago. And I'm really feeling it right now. Looking at all the Sundance posts, you know, I'm so happy for everybody. But I don't think I understood the gravity of where I was in that moment. I think it was there, but it didn't fully click in my mind. And so now I'm like, okay, I got to get back there somehow. And, you know, we had a second premiere in New York, and we did a bunch of press. I went on the Kelly Clarkson show. That was crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of just press junket questions, stuff like that, like 5-minute interviews. Lily and I stayed in one room. I was in New York, and I barely went outside except to go to different buildings for different interview things. It was just very lovely, very surreal, and I think very well deserved for this cast and this crew. You know, that world is such a tiring thing, and it made me realize that the work that I truly love to do is the work on set. The after stuff, it's there, it's fun, I like doing it, but it's being on set where I'm happiest. Yeah, and I was really grateful for everything that happened in New York. It was a really great experience, and Lily is so used to it now that she just took it in stride, and so I felt very comfortable knowing that if I didn't have it, she did. I was like, if I missed a question, I just knew that she could talk forever.
Literally auntie.
Yeah. And having Erica there too, it's just so lovely, and we had screenings in LA. Which I'm so grateful for, and I met such lovely people there. Yeah, and I had the opportunity to be styled and everything, which was crazy and surreal. And some of the brands that, you know, dressed me were crazy, and I was like, this isn't something that is happening, really. No, I'm dreaming. But yeah, it's all been a really, really great experience.
So we were wondering, how did you channel Roki while you were acting?
Roki is a character that I feel like I know, and I feel like, I mean, you've seen the film, and you guys are about to see the film. But she's just one of those little cousins that you see everywhere, and I really saw her in my younger cousins in Manitoba and my younger sister and younger versions of myself. And it was really easy to tap into that. I was like, I know you, I see you. And that's such an important thing, because I feel like, I don't know if you guys could probably relate to this, but I grew up not really having that representation in film. And it's really, there's a big surge of Indigenous media that's been happening in the last maybe 5 years, decade, that's really reaching mainstream media. And Lily is such a big part of that. Yeah. So, you know, like, growing up, we had a few things here and there. You know, we were talking about Smoke Signals earlier. Like, yeah. I love that film so much. I think that film, everybody should see that film. And I had Spirit, the movie with the horse. Y'all know that
Bear.
One? Yeah. We love Spirit.
Yes.
But I would go to school and I wouldn't know how to explain my culture to people, because people weren't talking about it as much as they are right now. You know, it's really developed in the past couple years. And so I would go to school and I'd be like, have y'all seen the movie with the horse? That's me. I'm the horse. So to have Fancy Dance and to have Roki, who's such a, and Jax as well, to have those characters that are so real and grounded that you feel like you know and you can relate to in your own life as Indigenous folks, you know, it's such an incredible thing to be seeing. And it's such a, I'm so grateful to be a part of that, to have my younger sister or my younger cousins be like, I can see myself in you, or like, mm-hmm. oh my God, you're related to me and you're in this movie. This is so cool. It's such a gratifying thing, because it's like, okay, we're putting all this work in and we're really seeing the impact that it has. And, you know, Res Dogs is a great example
yes.
of that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
the crew for Fancy Dance, a lot of them had just come off of working on Res Dogs season
two.
Oh,
nice,
And, you know, Lily's in a couple episodes of that show as well. And Erica has written episodes and directed episodes. And that is a whole other thing. It's like such a mainstream take on Indigenous storytelling, which I really, really enjoy, because I feel like we're always, you know, Fancy Dance is based in trauma.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. you need those, and then you also need the levity of shows like Res Dogs, because Res Dogs has all of that, but it has the humor.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like Fancy Dance really finds those moments of like familial connection, and that's what really holds the film together, are those moments of laughter and joy
yes.
and fun, because that's such a huge part of our culture, is the comedy of it.
Yes,
yes. So yeah, I really love Roki. I hope you guys really love Roki. You know, she's so near and dear to my heart. I love her so dearly. Yeah, she really reminds me of my family.
That's amazing. Just quickly for our next question, I just want to add that I'm insanely proud of you. Although I only met you, I think this year, maybe last year.
I think last year. Yeah.
Through your cousin, shout out Autumn. Love you, Autumn.
Hi, Autumn.
Hi. That I'm so proud of you for becoming that representation, especially so young, that you just like soared right away. And coming out of high school, and people are going to hear your name, they're going to see your face, and they're going to see that proper representation. And you're one of the people that are pushing forward Indigenous media so far. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so amazing. It is so great.
Right.
And I mean, I'm sure we're all proud of you. Very, very proud of you. I just think it's so amazing.
That means the most. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's so great to see other young Indigenous actors and actresses in the field. You know, obviously there's this level of competition that film has inherently, and it's really hard to set that aside. But I think in terms of seeing Indigenous representation, you know, there's space for all those little white girls out there.
Yes.
Like all of them. There's so many roles for them. So why can there not be that space for us too?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so great to see this, I don't know, this sort of amount of representation that's happening right now. And to, you know, I'm so excited to see more people too.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's so exciting. I want to work, but like, I want to see y'all work too.
For real.
Yeah. And so that really means a lot. Thank you.
Like, I can't even imagine if, like, child me was able to see movies like this. Because, like, what you said about, like, spirit and all that. Like, I remember being a kid and just feeling this huge question mark of, like,
mm-hmm.
Indigenous people are all around me. My family, we're doing all this stuff. But I never see it on TV. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think of, like, live-action Disney Channel shows like Jessie or, like, things
yeah.
like that. Like, there was never a Native character. And I remember as a kid, I didn't think about it too much. But I remember having, like, a question mark in my head of, like, where are we? Like, where are we?
Yeah.
It just makes me so happy to see all of this stuff. And, like, I can't imagine being a kid these days, getting to see all of this stuff
yeah.
coming out and seeing yourself on screen. Ah, makes me so happy.
Yes, taking up space.
Yes.
So I guess, like, building on that, like, what are your hopes and dreams for the future?
I think, well, Lily was talking about this in an interview that we did. And I think kind of talking about those roles that are go out and are open ethnicity, you know, those wide open calls, I feel like I want to start seeing more Indigenous representation that isn't so overt, if that makes sense. Like, I love everything that I'm seeing that's in celebration of our culture, but I think that it's really important to show that, like, we're just chilling here,
yeah,
too.
Like,
yeah. And so to see Indigenous peoples in those roles where it's not the main focus of their character
yeah.
arc.
It's not just for them to, like, teach
yeah.
about Indigenous identity. It's just for them to
be a person. Present,
you know? Be a character. Yeah. And so, you know, to be, I've heard Adam Beach talk about this. Yeah.
Have you
Yeah, shout out.
In a documentary called Real Engine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love it so
much. I remember
much.
Watching in high school.
Yeah, yeah. It's really yeah. great. Recommendation. Also follow me on Letterboxd. You could probably find it somewhere. No, he was talking about how Indigenous people and Indigenous actors, we just want to be real. We don't have to be perfect people. We don't have to be these model minorities in media. We just want to be shown in a real way. And we don't want to be stereotyped in any sort of thing. Because I know he was talking about like playing like the drunk Indian, you know, like all those stereotypes that are so common in film and media for our people. And showing that like there's so much intersectionality and dynamic that goes into all of that, and how it's really important to be portrayed fully in those characters. And I just completely agree with everything that he said about it, just because, you know, I want to be real. I want to be a real person. Yes. And it's totally possible. Like, it's not a difficult thing. It's just about people saying yes.
Exactly. Everything you said is so true, so real. Everything. It's like exactly how I feel about all of this. Like, it just, that's why I brought up that show Jesse's, because I remember mm-hmm. that was the one I specifically thought of. I was like, they're trying to like get everybody. Where's the Native character? Mm-hmm. It's just there and Native. And it's so frustrating, and I'm really hoping to see more of that. I think mm-hmm. it's so awesome that you're a part of all of that happening. And the sets, like, I love hearing about Indigenous sets and the mm-hmm. behind the scenes, because it's always so different.
Yeah, it was really great on Fancy Dance, because, you know, Cayuga was such a big part of the film, and I think it was this really, well, we had 2 weeks beforehand of rehearsal that was just language classes, and, you know,
oh, nice.
Lily, but Lily had like months of language classes for Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah. So coming to Fancy Dance and only having 2 weeks was really overwhelming, and it was my first feature, and so I was also just generally overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And we both showed up to set one day just in tears, and we're like, you don't have it. Okay, I don't have it either. But we got on set, and I think the first take that we got is the one that's in the film, is what Erica nice. Said. But getting that language right was such an important thing, because there are so few Cayuga speakers left in the world. And it was really important for Erica and the whole crew to kind of implement that into both the film and the behind the scenes of making the film. So all of our calls, like action or rolling, were in Cayuga. Whoa. So we were actively incorporating the language behind the scenes too. And it's such an important part of Indigenous film, because, you know, in history, we weren't shown speaking our real languages. And, you know, I think as Indigenous actors, too, we're just expected to know. Like, people just expect us to know every language ever. I don't even know my own languages. Like, real. Give me time. And, you know, other actors are so celebrated in their learning of, like, French or Italian or Spanish. And it's such a triumphant thing that yeah. they get to do, but, you know, it's just expected of us.
Yeah.
And so, also, that being said, in history, it wasn't always real languages, like, yeah. it was just yeah. gibberish, and so to be able to represent a language so fully was really important for both Lily and I, and also the characters, because it's such an isolated, safe space of connection for the two mm-hmm. of them. Which I really enjoyed, and I also tripped Lily up on a couple lines a couple times. two things sound really similar. It's Detnisakya and Tantnidagakya. Mm-hmm. Tantnidagakya means I'm not whispering, and Detnisakya means what are you doing?
Oh.
And she had to say, I'm not whispering. Do you remember that scene? We're in the car. Anyways, you guys will see it. And we're like, I'm not whispering, Tantnidagakya.
When but she kidnaps
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Spoilers. But
yeah, it's almost movie time.
Almost movie time.
Yes.
But I would whisper Denny Sakya before we started filming, and I tripped her up. anyways.
Where can the people find you and keep up with everything in Isabel's world?
I mean, Instagram. Yeah. I'm very active on there. It's just Isabel DeRoy. It's just my name. You can find my movies, or movie singular, and TV shows. I have 3 Pines on Amazon Prime, and then Fancy Dance on Apple TV Plus, and a couple other things that I get scared of because I was so little in them. But I am still very proud of them. I just can't watch them anymore.
That's fair. I don't blame you.
I think that's where we'll wrap it up.
Amazing.
And then it's movie time.
Movie time. 3 minutes. Thank you guys so much.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you. Masicho.
Okay. Toodles, everyone. I hope I can help you learn and talk about. And the Indigenous Collective is open to anyone. So if you're listening to this and you want to get involved, email me at indigenouscollective@citr.ca. Thanks for listening.
Start living. Start listening. From features through music to news, reflecting your views, this is
CYTR's thing.
CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC.
Accelerated program.
Accelerated programming since 1937.